This is What's It Like with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, I'm Ken Tangen. This is episode 72 of What's It Like. My guest is Julie Flagg, somewhere in the great state of Connecticut. Hey, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Did you grow up in that area?
I did grow up in this area.
Oh, did you come from a large family?
There were a family of four.
Oh.
And I went away to school when I was about 11 and finished my education when I was about 35 and came back to the same town.
Wow, that was quite a journey.
Yeah. And so, basically I went away to school, but I've always maintained close family ties through the whole venture.
Now, going away to school at age 11, was that typical for your area?
My parents traveled a fair amount, so I think that they honestly first saw that if we were away during the teenage years, that it would just be better all around,
mm-hmm.
and I think they were right. And so we were all encouraged to just explore and travel at will.
Mm. So growing up, who had the biggest influence on your life?
Honestly, I would say both parents, although at different times, in different ways, I would say that I was strongly influenced by both parents, although probably when I was younger, I tended to hang out with my father more, and whenever I could, would travel with him or go to work with him. He was a contractor, so whenever I could, I would be with him. And so, like, when we were sick or something, he would let us hang out with him and travel in the back of his car. So he just saw that as a way to spend time on their little, or to go in and stay with him at work. That was a big mm-hmm. deal. And my mother was a stay-at-home mom, but she traveled. My mom's a Spaniard, so she would travel a lot and would get away either to Mexico or to Spain for her semi-annual Latin fix.
What was your major challenge as a child?
Learning to read. I come from a family of great readers, and by third or fourth grade, I really couldn't read, and my siblings were just incredible readers. We were really a book-a-day family, but I couldn't read. So my mother got me a tutor in, like, fourth grade who came every night, and I just read with her for an hour every night, and then that changed everything.
Hmm.
So and all we did was read. We couldn't talk about school. We couldn't discuss school. We just read. That's all we did. And that was 3 years. And now I read at least as much as everybody else in my family, if not.
Did you always want to be a physician?
No. I had thought about it early on. And then actually after high school, I moved to England I was going to ride horses for the rest of my life. So I rode horses for about 2.5 years and then basically got enough of that and had a couple of injuries and I had to come home. So I thought, oh, you know, this is the time to try school. But by then I was really eager to get back to school. So it all worked out perfectly. I was extremely eager to get back to school then. And actually riding horses in England year-round and competing is more arduous than exciting and thrilling than you would think. So it was really, my parents' plan worked out perfectly. But I was very, very studious, and I basically moved into the library where it was warm, dry, and there were flush toilets that worked. I thought I had died and gone to heaven. So I went back, and then, but by then I was really serious about going into medicine, and I basically put my head down and, you know, had developed really good study skills and found the work very interesting and found some good teachers and went to a wonderful medical school where it was, you know, probably I had more of my undergraduate experience at medical school than I did as an undergraduate, where basically I was just in the library.
Mm. So Did you enjoy medical school?
I loved it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved every day. I was at Georgetown, which was just aesthetically, visually very pretty, and Washington was extremely exciting. And you couldn't believe that medicine was the only thing that was happening. It was just a very, very exciting city and physically a thrilling city to be in. A lot of very industrious and hardworking people. So that was great, and I loved that. And I loved every day. It was really a kind of, oh, try this. You might like this. Try that. And if you might like surgery, or you might like neurology, or you might like psychiatry or orthopedics. And it's just, everything was just thrilling. It was, every day was really, really a treat. And I remember leaving medical school thinking, like, I'll never be this happy again. Which is not the case, but it was just like going to a very good restaurant and saying, have anything you want. Oh, mm-hmm. Try this. Oh, try that. So it was very, very interesting, really creative, resourceful people with excellent study skills, excellent focus skills.
How did you choose your specialty?
It was my first rotation, and I was at DC General, and there just was so much to do, and it was so exciting, and it was just such a mixed bag of deliveries and surgery and cancer and very optimistic people. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the driver, that they were just optimistic people. And that's what was really important to me. I learned very early on that I didn't do well with grumpy, negative people. A turnoff. That lethargy, grumpy, and negative just was a turnoff for me.
Well, what exactly do you do?
I do obstetrics and gynecology. So I deliver babies, take care of women that are pregnant, and I do gynecology. So I do pelvic surgery on a uterus, vagina, bladder, support problems, cancer problems. So it's just a mixed bag of everything.
What's the best thing about your job?
I would say the ability to do, at the end of the day, to feel like, oh, I've done the best. I have helped my patient get the best possible result. So that's basically that's my goal. But, and then there's sort of four premises in our practice that we'll do the best job for our patient, we'll do the best job for our staff, we'll always be ready to learn, and that in that process we will be profitable, if we can run the business. And then the fifth thing, if all four of those are in place, then it's fine. So those are sort of the four premises, and that's really held from the beginning.
Well, let me turn the question around. What's the worst thing about your job?
I wouldn't say it's the worst thing. I would say the most challenging thing is to keep the systems in place and to also manage the other issues in, the work, to take care of my family. That's really, really important. And, to keep the other people in my life satisfied and not interrupted by my work.
Mm-hmm. Just keeping the process going.
Right. And that's a very difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a major issue. Right. And just the call schedule. And then the reality is that even though my last patient may be at 5 o'clock at night, I may have 2 or 3 hours of work after that, reading time and just staying organized.
What type of person would be good at your job?
A lot of energy and a very good work ethic. I think that's those are sort of old-fashioned terms, but I think, capacity to stay focused and, to study hard and to prepare and to stay organized. Those are people that do well in clinical medicine. Yeah, honestly, developing the systems for studying and the systems for planning and the systems for staying organized are hugely important. And that's actually how I met David Allen, which was, you know, now like 12 years ago. You know, that was sort of the natural culmination and just still an incredibly important part of my work. It's really the foundation of my work and something that I use every day constantly.
How does that impact your work?
Well, it sort of was the natural, kind of the natural next step. Starting out even as an undergraduate, you know, having sort of a three-ring binder organization. And then, you know, we started our practice in 1985, and then by, you know, the 90s, it just was going full tilt. And then in 2000, we were sort of going to the next level until I thought, we need to start to have systems in place as we bring more people on. And that's when I first interfaced with, I actually picked up David's book, and then we hired some of his people to come to our office and actually look how things were running. And so, and we've touched base with, I've kept in touch with his team by email and computers and programs and forums for years. And it's sort of my foundation, and it's what I go back to literally every day. And so it's an incredibly important part of my system. Otherwise, I think I would have unraveled long ago.
So I know you have to go to medical school to become a doctor, but what else do you have to do?
I think that you have to find things that, give you joy and beauty. So, music has always been a really important part. I am a big opera freak. So that's a constant part of my life. And then the other thing is that you have to stay fit. So I row all the time. Rowing is a big part of my life. And I do a tremendous amount of walking just in my normal activity during the day. I probably walk 12 to 15 or 16 kilometers a day in my activity. But then I also row, and that's an important part of my day to stay fit, because just to operate, you have to stay fit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of my day.
So what is a typical day for you?
Well, I get up. I get up very early. I'm up easily by 4 a.m.
Mm.
And so that means I go to bed usually by 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Although sometimes later, and I may have calls during the night or a delivery during the night, if I'm on call every third or fourth night. So I get up at 4, and I live on the third floor of my building, so I go down to my office and intend to have meditative time, journal writing time, and then exercise time in the morning. And then I'll review what I have to get done during the day and what the plan of attack for the day is, what meetings I have to go to, what surgery I'm going to be doing, and then when I have to be back in the office to start seeing patients, and then if I have any evening activities. But I basically use David's system, which I'm sure you're familiar, which I understand you're familiar with. So I have it very, very clear what's expected of me and what I hope to accomplish that day, so that I'm prepared when something really bad happens, which probably something surprising will happen every day, but something potentially very, very bad can happen once every week or so, or once every few weeks. Something really earth-shattering can change. I have to be prepared for that, and I try and have my inboxes to empty and my calendar reviewed every day. That's just an incredibly important part of my life.
So, Julie, everybody has to give themselves motivation occasionally. How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
Fortunately, that's something, I was born with good energy. I was born with, I was a good motivator, a good self-motivator. But I would say that I also have been a student of self-discipline and motivation and willpower. You know, my dad introduced me to contractors, and these are people that build buildings and bridges, and they tend to be highly, you know, get this job done kind of people. And that was really important. And the other thing that I would say that I've learned is not necessarily trying to make cataclysmic changes or huge changes, but recognizing that even if I make small changes at the beginning, but if I stay true to those, that in the long run, it'll make a difference. It's sort of like changing the direction of your ship just 1 or 2 degrees after 24 hours. That's a huge difference. Rather than saying I need to get to Detroit by 6 o'clock tonight, you know, more thinking about what angle do I need to change, and just being incredibly, incredibly flexible.
Since you're a self-motivator, let me turn the question around. How do you soothe yourself down when you need to?
One of the things is that fortunately, because I get up so early and I spend so much energy, that's actually, you know, by about 8 or 9 o'clock at night, it is really easy to relax, especially with music. And then my partner and I have certain things, like on Sunday mornings, that we do, and there's certain things that we do that, you know, whether it's feeding the cattle or tending to the dogs or the cats, that, or listening to music, that are just very soothing. That just the rhythms of our life are very soothing. And that's important, and just responding to the different crises that they, you know, almost the crises are the norm in our life.
Is there an event in your life that has challenged you to the core?
Yes. Yeah, I got sued.
Mm.
I had to go on trial. Yeah, that was a big one. That was really, really difficult. My father's death was difficult. My partner, I'm lesbian, so my partner after 14 years left after my lawsuit. That was a big challenge. Some of the challenges, and actually very recently, my partner's sister was killed in a very freak camping accident. So past 3 weeks, we've been dealing with that. And so, you know, but there definitely are sort of rough spots that come in our lives, but I feel like I'm better at rough spots, and that people that I deal with are just sort of more accustomed that, oh my gosh, something's happening, or there's a I have to go to the OR, I have to do this, or I have to do that. Those are just part of my life.
Is there an idea or a principle that has helped you through your challenges?
You know, just do the best that I can.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, is this the best that I can do? Am I getting the best outcome for the people at Eden? Is this the best that I can do?
Hmm.
And then just persevere. That's not to have it to be perfect is really stupid.
Mm-hmm. If you're giving the commencement address for high school or college, what would you say?
Whatever you have, enjoy it a lot. If you like things to be done well, whether it's being a gardener or a surgeon or a baker, learn as much about it as you can and do it as well as you can, because the better you are at it, whether you're making pie or whether you're operating, if you make really good pie, it's a lot more fun and it tastes better. Anything really good requires tremendous effort.
I want to thank Julie Flagg for joining me today. Thanks, Julie. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity as well. It's been a pleasure.
If you'd like to leave a comment, ask a question, or get more info, go to whatsitlike.info.